I would like to, I requested my brother to read the passage for me from the Bible in English. I have my language Bible. I won't mind reading. But you may be thinking that I'm speaking in tongues. So, I let him read for me. And it came to pass that as the people pressed on upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at the word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship, and they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Praise the Lord. Did I say anything wrong?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I bring the greetings all the way from India in Jesus' precious name. For your information, I have not spoken in English for 2 years. And until I reach America again. And then I went back 2 years back from America. I was affected by a disease called sleep apnea. I don't know if you are aware of that. If anyone know about it, you can shake your hand. You can raise up your hand and say, oh Lord. So I pray that no one should be the sleep apnea victim, but it is good to know about it. And doctors told my son that I would be going into the coma in 40 minutes. And then little while later, the doctor told my son again, your daddy is going to go in coma in another 30 minutes. And again he said, another 10 minutes, he's going to go in coma, but I'm still preaching God's word. I didn't go in coma, thank God. I give God the glory. And I do believe the saints, the prayer of you all, and your support, the pastor sent it to India, especially to buy a machine which helps me to get the oxygen. Because for the regular person to live, you need at least 60% of oxygen in your brain. Whereas I have only 15%, 15% of oxygen supplied to my brain and my heart. So I was expected to go in coma, but the prayer of the saint, God kept me alive to come back to tell you that I am still alive.
Hallelujah.
And also, and I want to tell our beloved pastor for his understanding. He understands the pastor, the ministers, the fellow servant's heart. He is so kind. And also Pastor Amma. I don't know if you understand the word. Pastor Amma means pastor's wife in India, known as Pastor Amma. Amma is mother. We have 80 children in our church and they all call me daddy. And they call my wife mommy. And they call their biological father, mother, they call them Appa, Amma. So whenever I say Pastor Amma, you should understand I meant to say pastor's wife. Is that clear to every one of you?
Yeah.
Praise God. This church is so alert. When you are silent, I know exactly why you are silent. I will not understand, oh, this church is so cold. I will not understand in that way. I know you all very attentive. Amen. Am I right?
Amen.
I'm very, you know, you all very attentive because of my accent, my poor English. If I could speak English like you guys, maybe I could be a little more comfortable to explain. Amen. You know, it's my habit to keep saying, well, hallelujah, amen, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. We keep saying that.
Amen.
I keep saying that over and over. So it is like our part and parcel of our day-to-day life and day-to-day prayer life. So if you could do that the same, you would be okay too. You all can do it because I didn't come to this country to teach any Indian culture, because which I don't believe in. I don't believe in Indian culture, and I don't have one. I don't have Indian culture because I developed my mind as an international-minded man. I don't know if you understand. So I don't believe in a culture. I didn't come here to force to teach an Indian culture, but I have a universal, international mind. So I accept things and I respect the custom of the people. And I respect. Amen. And I also have a very special, my spiritual, I could say my spiritual parents, brother and sister Madhya, because I know them for a long time. And they were very young. They're still young. But they used to be much more younger than this. And they would, when he received me from 179th Street, and I told him, my breakfast will be ready. My sister will be bringing down. She would always have a breakfast whenever she see me in the hand, and also a wet nap to wipe my hands. They have been treating me to feel like their own son. And also, and the day we heard that our beloved sister Singh passed away, and the whole church, we all prayed for the consolation of my brother and my sister. And I also give God the glory, because we are all going to be seeing all those people who departed from us, we will see them again.
Amen.
Only thing we need to have is the assurance of the salvation.
Amen.
When we have the assurance of the salvation, even when you hear the preacher who is standing here today, if you hear that no more, don't worry, we will see again.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. So all we need to have is the salvation, the assurance of the salvation. Then we could see each other. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, I come from India. I don't live here. I don't want you to get the notion that I live in America. After 2 years, I'm back to America. I couldn't believe myself because I'm in America again. And I could smell the fragrance of America. If I say whole America is fragrance, smells nice, you must believe that word, because you could imagine when you land in my country and come out, then you will understand. And I don't have the authority. I want to deport at least 1 million people out of America. I want to deport 1 million people out of this country. And after 2 weeks, I have to bring them back again to this country. And to see everybody go and kiss the ground. How do you like that?
Yeah.
You understand my English?
Amen.
So everybody will kiss the ground. Then you would know how blessed you are in this country.
Amen.
You know,
hallelujah.
I respect. When I came to the airport, you won't believe a white man who was an immigration officer, he just go through my papers and you know what he said? Sir, welcome. Thank you. And he said, you. Welcome to United States of America. I was so happy because I never overstayed, never misbehaved, and I never do anything out of my visa what is permitted that I should do. I never get involved in anything other than that. So I thank God for everything. And as our pastor said, education did not make me a human. The education qualification is only a modification of the character, some extent, but the Bible molded me.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible is the one that molded me to stand here.
Hallelujah.
And before God bring me to this country, He taught me some English that I could be able to communicate to my brothers when I see them. Amen.
Amen.
It's all by the grace of God. I thank God for that. And your support, a pastor sent the support to India to buy a machine that I have to use when I sleep. It's a kind of machine, you know, like a mask. And the machine supplies the oxygen to my brain and my heart. So, only problem, the difference between the 2 years back and now, last time I will just speak non-stop, pop, 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 pop. Now, gap. You will see, you will hear, sometimes you may not hear anything, only the air would come out. So, please understand, when people have the cardio problem, the heart problem, this is a symptom to expect, a little symptom, but still thank God. I'm still alive. God has given me the health and strength to see you all in good health. And I'm praying the similar way, our pastor, I also remember his name. His name is, the first time he told me, it's just like a sticker in my mind, you know. Harisharan, Paul Harisharan Lakhan. It's a beautiful Indian name. With this from, I could tell that he is his parents all from the northern part of India. Why are you looking jealous? Because he has a very good name. And I with all my respect, I tell my thanks to him for this opportunity and giving the pulpit. He's so kind to accept me. And all the leaders of the congregation, I greet you all in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior. And continue to uphold me in your prayers whenever you remember me.
Amen.
Amen. You all look kind of silent, you know. Silent is good, but too silent is scares me a little bit. It's how many of you, as a Christian, you never read this portion that we read just now by this young brother? How many of you never read the passage before? Anyone? So what should it take? You have read it before or you never read it? Read it before. Can you raise up your hand and see? Oh, wow. So, I don't have to tell the story of it because you know the story already. Even if you don't know the story, please contact your Sunday school teacher. She or he would be able to tell you better than me. Like it. But the little stuff, the little thing that make me to think in this morning, Peter, a fisherman, Jesus, a preacher, a holy preacher speaking to a fisherman, which is unusual. Sometimes, very sorry to say this, the members of the congregation never get a chance to talk to the pastor. Remember my testimony, if you recollect my testimony a little bit in your mind, you would know. I went many churches in America. I went as a stranger and I came out as a stranger. I've been to big churches, 42nd Street, not Brooklyn Tabernacle. I went to Brooklyn Tabernacle in Brooklyn. I went to Times Square. I met the pastor. I have to beg somebody to meet the pastor. But nobody ever accepted me. Even without knowing, our pastor is so kind to accept me as his own brother. The people never get a chance to talk to the pastor. That is the day we live. But in the Bible, we are able to read that Jesus, as a Lord and Savior, as a preacher, as a carpenter, not as a son of carpenter, he is a carpenter, can speak to the fisherman, can go down to his level to speak to him. How many of you understand me?
Yes. Amen.
Jesus can speak and Jesus also can hear. There are a lot of time we all know to speak too much.
but we listen less. There is a man that I am staying with in Brooklyn. He always used to tell me, Pastor Paneer, when my mother was alive, she used to tell me and my brothers, if you all listen to me, everything that I told you guys, you should be owning half of Brooklyn. You didn't understand.
Amen.
The children, if they listen to the parents, they should be able to get all the blessings that they speak out of their mouth. If you listen to your parents, you will be owning not just half Brooklyn alone, also half Queens. How do you like that? What attracted my mind is Jesus can speak to a fisherman.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ was speaking to a fisherman, and Jesus spoke to him, and Peter also spoke to him. But when Peter spoke to Jesus, he was listening to him, which is unusual. You can never see a leader of a Guruji, the master, listening to the servant. Have you ever seen that? Because in the New Testament alone, the disciples of Jesus addressed Jesus six times as master. In Spanish, maestro. In your credit card, you can see at the back, the MasterCard is written maestro. The master is the one who knows everything is called master. If I never went to school and tell people that I want to be a teacher, I'm going to be a teacher, I would like to be a teacher, I should be a funny man, because the one who never learned don't deserve to teach. I heard so much about our pastor. Our pastor is a very good teacher. I heard it. You know, Brother Madhu will tell every now and then when he speaks, he will mention about the pastor. You know, my pastor, very good teacher, beautiful teacher. He can teach. But Jesus Christ was called as a master by the disciples for 6 times in the New Testament because he is a master.
Yeah.
Not only is a master, can you imagine now in this scripture, Jesus started teaching fishermen how to fish. Hello?
Amen.
A fisherman learning from the carpenter how to fish. A carpenter teaching the fisherman how to fish. Can you imagine that? Because he's a master.
Yes.
He's not only mastering, now sewing the wood and nailing the wood. He's also master in carpentry. He's also master in email and email, astronomy and astrology. He's a master in everything. And he's also master in fishing. That is what Peter meant to say and call him as a master. He's a master of everything. And a lot of parents in this country, they cry and say, how am I going to keep my children in this country? Because this country has a lot of attraction and destruction. How are we going to survive in this country? I'm here to tell you, listen to the master. Because he's also master in the family. Jesus helped his parents. He helped it. He went down to help the parents in carpentry because he's a master. And the master has come to visit this church this morning to teach something if you like to learn. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When I was in college, I said, orphan boy, untouchable boy, downtrodden, low community, ugly looking face. You know, people call me Bugs Bunny face. And some of them called me mailbox because my pant always torn at the back and the children will fold paper and put it behind and call me mailbox. That kind of situation, I went to the college to study. I had nobody to teach me my subjects. But every time I read my textbook, I would put a piece of cloth next to me and I would say, Lord Jesus, please come and sit here and teach my lessons because I don't have anyone to teach me. And one day when my friends passed by and they saw a piece of cloth next to me and said, Paneer, that's my name. What is this piece of cloth is doing down here? I said, this is for my Jesus to sit and teach me. And they said, we didn't see no Jesus here. They said, we didn't see no Jesus here, brother. I was quiet. We all wrote the exam. and the paper was corrected and gave back to the principal, gave the teacher, gave back to us the paper of the correction. And I was looking my mark and I said, thank you, Jesus. Now everybody want to know how many marks I got in that examination. Everybody look at my mark and see. Everybody said, now we believe that Jesus was sitting over there. He's a master and he knows everything. If you do not know how to behave with your parents, you ask Jesus, he will teach you how to be a good child. If you are a parent and you don't know how to behave with your children and suspecting, criticizing, mocking them, sometimes the people, the parents do that to the children, you know. Sometimes the children, the parents don't understand their own children. Children, I'm here to tell you, tell your feelings to Jesus. He will understand you better than your own parents. Hallelujah. Because he's a master. Because he's a master. He's also master in parenting the children. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus wants to help Peter for lending his boat to Jesus to sit and preach for a while. When you do something for God, don't you know that your reward is going to be great in earth and also in heaven? Because he is the rewarder. Because Jesus is no man's debtor. He always wants to pay back for everything that you do for God. That is the God we are worshipping this morning. And then now you see Jesus wanted to help Peter. And Peter listening to Jesus preaching when he was washing the nets. You know, he was washing the nets and also listening to the preaching of Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of people can do two things. Especially children who go to college or school. They will read their textbook. Also, they will watch the television. You know, a lot of children can do that. But in this way, Peter was listening, also washing the net. Now, Jesus began to speak to Peter and said, Peter, take all your nets. The word for, it says nets. Even though I don't speak English very good, but I understand this difference between net and nets. Net is a singular and net is a plural. More than one. And Jesus told him, take all your nets and let it in the water. But this fifth scripture, when Peter responded, Jesus and said, Lord, we toiled the whole night. We toiled the whole night. Nevertheless, that is the, nevertheless is the key word of this passage. Victory through nevertheless. He says, Lord, I am going to do everything that you say. I am going to just follow your instruction. Because you are the master and you are commanding me to do something and I am going to do it. Because in the end of your my obedience, I am going to be blessed. But when you read the scripture, the Bible says so clear in the verse, scripture 4, sorry, the 5. He let only one net in the water, that's what is called net, singular. Jesus said nets and he put only one net. Which means he did not do as Jesus told him to do. In other words, a lot of time we say, Lord, I am just going to do as you tell me to do. And but we don't mean anything, we just still. One sister went to the pastor one day, one fine morning like this. She went and told the pastor, Pastor, this is the last day I'm coming to church. I'm not going to be in this church anymore. And the pastors were astonished. They said, Why you don't want to be in this church? Pastor, I come here to say goodbye to you. I'm going to another church. I want to go to another church. Why? Because, you know, Pastor, when you are preaching, everybody busy with their cell phone. Some people smell at each other what kind of cologne they are using. Some people are busy in, you know, the wig. Where did you get this wig? It's so beautiful. Looks natural. And some of the parents, you know, they play with their children while you are preaching. And some of them, they don't live nice. Our people in the church, they don't live right. So I have to quit the church. And the pastor was a wise man. And he said, okay, before you go, sister, can you do me a favor? What? He brought a glass of water. Yeah, the water is right here. Yes. Thank God. See? When you need water, the water is ready. Because they, you know, they always a ram in the bush. The pastor brought a glass full of water and gave it to the sister and said, please take this water and go around the church 3 times. And make sure that you don't spill the water in the ground. So she went around the church 1 time. And again she went. How many times? Right. Again she went. 3 times. Wow, you all know 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Praise God. You know, she went around 3 times. And when she came back, the pastor asked the sister, let me ask you, when you went around, did you see people fiddling with the cell phone? Pastor, I didn't see because I was concentrating on the water.
Right.
And the second time when you went, did you see they play with the children or smelling each other, the cologne or this, speaking about the vegan, all this? Pastor, you told me not to spill the water in the ground, so I was concentrating on the water.
Amen.
I didn't see any of this. Then the pastor told the sister, that is what Jesus said, follow me. Not a preacher. Follow me. If your eyes focused upon Jesus Christ, you are not going to see nothing and nobody. Hello? And you will never find fault in the life of nobody. If at all you want to scold at somebody, find fault in somebody, you find it within you.
Hallelujah.
You know, a lot of folks, they even put the blame on the pastor sometimes. The pastor is no good. That is why I don't like the church. They put the blame on the pastor. In fact, it happened in a church. A family invited the pastor to come and eat in their house. So the pastor took the invitation, went to eat. Oh, they made beautiful meal. They made a good meal. The pastor had big meal, including the silver spoon. The spoon made out of silver, real silver, no fake. So, right after pastor left, they started putting all the dish into the sink. But the silver spoon they gave to the pastor to eat, it is missing. And then the wife told the husband, honey, do you see this? The pastor took the silver spoon, he put it in his packet. And then, you know, they felt very bad about it. A year went by. 1 year later, again they invited, pastor, it's almost a year now, please come. I hope you all invite your pastor to eat, but don't worry, he's not going to take the silver spoon. You know, after 1 year they invited him, he went there, they gave him food, he had food. After food, the pastor said, sister, why not we pray before I go? He said, that sounds nice, we'll pray. Why not we read a scripture before we pray? So the pastor said to the sister, sister, could you bring your Bible? When she brought the Bible, the pastor said, okay, turn your Bible to, then she opened the Bible. Uh-oh, the silver spoon is right in the Bible. Jesus is master. When I say the word master, I need to do a seminar on that word, just word master. He's master in everything.
Yes.
In visible, invisible. Publicly, secretly, openly, indirectly, whatever we do, there is somebody who is recording, not even the micro camera. You know, there is a camera in the pen. They have a camera, you know, the button camera, they have a lot of stuff, but the powerful desire, the device that anyone can invent in this world is with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
How many of you believe that?
Amen.
How many of you believe that?
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
Jesus had Peter say. Peter spoken, Jesus heard it. What Peter said, Lord, we tried everything. These are the things, you know. In other words, you know what he meant to say? Now, I know you are a good preacher. I also know that you are a carpenter. And you don't know what you are talking about. I am a fisherman by birth.
Yeah.
And you don't tell me what to do. I know everything. That's what he's trying to say.
Amen.
Nevertheless, The word nevertheless means all we tried in our life, everything, business we tried, we failed, family failed, society failed, relatives failed, children failed, parents failed, everybody's failed. Nevertheless, you have done everything that you can, still you have hope in Jesus. I have no hope in Pope, but my hope in Jesus Christ, because He is Master.
Amen.
He is Master in everything. He's the Master in everything. Any doubt you have, you don't know how to run your family, ask Jesus. You don't know how to get good mark, good credential in your examination, ask Jesus. He knows everything. He's Master over everything. Hallelujah.
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 Amen.
Can I hear an amen?
Amen?
If you keep saying amen here and there, it is like a boost for me.
Amen.
If you don't say amen, you know, it's like, you know, I'll be a little comfortable, you know, when you say amen.
Amen.
Now, Jesus speaking to Peter, and Peter also speaking to Jesus. If you don't have anybody to listen to, you want to say something, you want to speak to somebody, and you don't have anybody around you, don't worry, you can speak to Jesus.
Amen.
And it is good for the believers, it's good for the Christians to speak less and listen more.
Yes.
Hello?
Amen.
That is why God gave us 2 ears.
Yep.
That means you hear more, and 1 mouth. That means you speak less. Amen?
Amen?
So it is always good to hear more. When the preacher preaching, it is the time for the believers to open their heart like a Lydia and listen what God wanted to speak to us.
Yes, amen.
Since I became a Christian in the age of 16, and God gave me 2 things. One is patience. When somebody talks, I don't cross them. And another thing, I'm very attentive listening to people. That is, I got it from Jesus Christ because He's a good listener.
Amen.
If you go to any old home, you know, the elderly people home, you will see a small, what do you call this, photo? A return, this scripture. It's not a scripture, I never read it in the Bible, but Jesus Christ is the head of this house. Unseen guest at every meal and silent listener. Hello? See, indeed, Jesus is the silent listener at every conversation that we speak at home, in the office, and wherever we go, He's a good listener. And also He's a good speaker. You know Jesus is a good speaker.
Yes.
But when you invite, last convention I invited a speaker from another town to come and speak for us 3 nights. And he asked me how many members in your congregation. I told him maybe 20 people. So, Pastor, you know, I have been preaching to 50 and 100. You know, I preach in a big meeting. 100. When you say 100, it's like a big meeting, he said. So, how can he come and preach for 25 people. That's what he told me. So I booked another speaker to come and speak, and he came and preaching. And then he called me, Pastor, did you book the speaker already? I said, yes. No, I could come. I said, no, I don't want you. You know why? The original speaker in the whole universe is Jesus Christ. But He can speak for one soul. Hello, how many of you remember?
Amen.
The woman in the Samaritan well. You know, the Samaritan woman. If Jesus can speak to one soul, who am I? Hello? Who am I? It is not about the crowd. It is not about how many people that we are. Even if we are 2 or 3. But we do know that Jesus in our midst. Hallelujah. But in all this, we have to learn that God is in control over all of us. That is what Jesus said, Peter, I had everything you say. Now I say to you, take all your nets and go to the water. And he said, sir, it's a morning time. When you go by the beach in the morning time, when it is sunshine and the water is crystal clear, you can see a penny, some nickel and dime under the water. You could see them so clear. It is not a time to fish. It's a good time to swim. Hello, somebody.
Yes.
So now Jesus tells him, and Peter speaking back to him. You know what Peter says? Listen. You don't know what you are talking about. You are a carpenter. You know about the wood, but you don't know about the fishing.
Yeah.
Now you are trying to teach the fisherman, professional fisherman, how to fish. And he said, I heard you everything. I heard you everything you say. Now I say to you, take all your nets. You know, I have a son. I have two daughters and one son. You will never see. Go around America, go around the world. I guarantee in the presence of God, God is my witness, you will never see a son like my son. Never. He is 33 years old son. He never misbehaved to me even once, Pastor. The evidence is the Bible. I'm standing in God's presence among the saints. My son never spoke back to me even once in his life.
Amen.
You have to understand what I said. It's no joke. The best son in the whole universe. When he is 12 years, he started behaving like a big man. When I asked my wife, where is son? He took the Bible and went to the church. In the church is upstairs. He would go up and read the Bible and pray and come down. 12 years. When I was coming, I asked him, what can I bring for you from America? Pastor, you know what he said? Daddy, if you come back safe, I will be praying for you to come back safely. That's all I'm praying. Such a wonderful son. The son who makes the father every minute happy. When I see my son, I cry, because for me, such a good child God has gifted me. And he's a pastor. He's a medical doctor, and he's a good medical doctor, and he's a good pastor. Everybody in the church, we have over 150 families. And everybody love him. And he's with the youth, he's so dynamic. Every young people after him. And he's a good husband. Good husband. You know, we don't believe in two marriages.
Right.
We all, of course. But he never misbehaved with anybody. I never seen him screaming, shouting, howling, speaking filthy words. Never seen him. Never seen him doing that. Even when something he really loves it, if I give it to him, something I gave him very precious, he would never get it. When the sisters ask him, he would give it to them. Good son I have. And good listening to me. Listen to me very well. I will casually tell him, my son, this evening I may not be here by 8 o'clock, but you run the church. And then I will go. But when I come back, you know, you will start. And he's a crazy keyboard player and singer. Crazy. Good kid. Can your parents go somewhere and tell about you the similar way I said about myself? Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Young people, can your parents give this testimony before God? That is how you and me have to be as a children. When you listen to God, God is ready to teach if you are willing to listen.
Yeah.
That is what Jesus said to him. I heard everything you said, Peter. Go back. He went back. Multitude of fish they caught. In other words, all their effort is successful. The Bible says the whole night they toiled. They tried everything they can. They failed. The whole night is the time for Peter. That is Peter's time. But when it is morning, that is the time for our Jesus to come. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When everything failed you, you could expect Jesus to come any time, because that you are coming close to the Kairo or Chrono time. The word Kairo and Chrono in Greek, it means the time of God, God's time. You know the chronograph watches? It means, it talks about the time. The whole night is your time. When it is morning, it is the time of God. It is the time for our Jesus to come and do the miracle. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, when I was walking, they put me 2 days in the machine. And they checked me 65 times. My heartbeat broken. You know, in the sleep, I have to have a constant sleep. I did not 65 times in one night. 65 times broken, and the doctor felt very bad. But you know, I'm still alive.
Yeah.
When Pastor said I was put into the screen and prayed, now I know why I am still here.
Hallelujah.
Somebody's prayer. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Somebody pray. That is why we all have to come together. In this morning, if someone staying home and watching the preacher coming on the television, I would say no. It may not be a garbage you are watching at home, but you may be watching your preacher, but still the Bible says that we all have to come together, as the Paul says that the church need to come together, because when we all come together and pray, one way or another, either your mouth or somebody's mouth is going to be very clean, that God will listen to them. Hallelujah. Now Peter washing the nets. Jesus watching his heart. How many of you believe Jesus can see your heart? How many of you believe that? Hello? Come on. You believe that Jesus can see your heart? Yes. Indeed, he see your heart. You know what happened? When Jesus saw the heart of Peter, there is a desire in the depth of his heart. Jesus saw the desire in the deep down in his heart. Yes. You know what was his desire? One day, as a fisherman, one day in his lifetime, he want to see his boat is filled with the fish. At least once in his lifetime, he want to see his boat is filled with the fish. That was the desire. Jesus Christ is already selected him to be his disciple. But Jesus have to fulfill the desire of the man. If it is not fulfilled, he is going to go back to the water again to fish. That is why Jesus gave him multitude of fish. Now you know the reason why so much of fish. In addition to that, when you come to Jesus and serve him, when you accept Jesus and give your whole life to Jesus to serve, not only you, also your household. Put your hands together. Give God some praise. Even bless you. Also, your family will be blessed through you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You know, all your ungodly brothers and sisters, ungodly parents, and they enjoy every benefits, and they would be thinking it's all by their effort, their sacrifice, they're working overtime on it. No. It's all by you. You come to the church and you receive Christ, and you are sitting and praying for people out there. That is the reason they are enjoying all the benefits through you. My Jesus can see the heart, brother. He saw their desire. There is a desire. He wanted to fish. Full fish in his boat. And God wanted to fulfill it. When I was there, about 35 years old boy, still serving Jesus, there is a preacher who always speak about me in India. You always speak about. You always never speak the good thing, always speaks bad. You know, the paneer is running here and there because, you know, you need money. All the time you run here and there. We all need, but you always speak bad of me. So every time I try to talk to him, he would never give me a chance. When he see me coming this way, he will run in this way. So one day I saw him in a bakery. You know, bakery where they make the bread and everything? Okay. So he was buying something over there. I went and put my arms around him and said, "Praise the Lord, Pastor." When he saw me, he said, "Praise the Lord, Pastor, praise the Lord." He cannot run because I was holding him on the other side. And I asked him, "Pastor, if there is anything I should ask you to forgive me, please forgive me. Let us preach Jesus. Let us not preach about each other." And then when I was speaking like this, they had 20 different varieties of candies in the big bottle. Are you with me?
Amen.
Are you with me, church?
Amen.
Now when you say amen, you understand me. If you stop saying amen, then I would think you missed me. Now, my eyes was, now I take a look of the bottles, all big bottles with the different candies. But my eyes was upon the sixth bottle. Listen to me very carefully. I wanted to buy two candy from that bottle. I want to give one for him and eat one for myself. But when I asked the pastor to please forgive me, he began to cry. He said, "I am the one spoke bad of you, so you have to forgive me." And I said, no, you forgive me. He said, no, you have to forgive me. No. They reconcile. He reconciled with each other. And then I forgot about the candy. I started walking away. Maybe a few yards I walked, and then the pastor was calling me. Pastor, please hold on. He was running after me. And I stood for a minute. And then he came and he said, "Pastor, this candy I bought for you." And he gave it to me. 1 year in his mouth. when he put the candy in my house, it could have been from the 7th bottle or the 5th bottle, but it is exactly from the 6th bottle which I wanted to buy, which I forget, but God understand and respect even the little feeling, the feeling, the vibration, the desire of my heart that God wanted to fulfill, and what I forgot to buy, God made this man to buy. That is the God we are worshipping this morning. Put your hands together. Many times you think that God has forgotten you. I have come from India to tell you and remind you this morning, God will never forget none of you, either one of you. Every desire, great or small, God has them. God, you are in the plan of God, you are in the mind of God, you are still in the program, you are still in the agenda of God, because that is the God we are worshipping this morning. God fulfills our desires. But we have to listen. We must be willing to do what He says. We must have the desire to do anything that God tells us to do. I went 2 weeks back. I went to North Carolina, Wilson, Raleigh, Wilson. I went there. You know the jacket I left last time here? The man locked the house, went for vacation. So I had no jacket. When I went there, we don't use jacket in India, but I respect the pulpit. I always respect. Anywhere I go, I behave, I respect. So I need a jacket. Where I was staying, the two young people, they're very friendly with me. They told me, Pastor, we'll take you to the store. You can buy one jacket, no problem. They took me to 20 different stores. They said $100 for a jacket. I'm not going to spend that kind of money in this country when a $20 bill come in my hand. I guarantee it's not going out of my hand in this country. Because when it goes to my country, it has a big work. I will never let it go. But they took me to different places, 20 stores, big stores. I could not. So I came out, I was staying outside, and the children said, Pastor, lost one store, please. I said, this is the lost store. But inside of me, I'm thinking, God, if it is your will that I must buy a jacket, the condition, Jesus, this is the color I want. Please take a good look. This is the color I want. And I remember this kind of, button. Same jacket I had long back. 20 years back, I had a jacket. But the model is different. Nobody used those kind of model. I like this button. If I go inside and I see a jacket with this color and this button, I would accept it is your will. And also, a condition I put in before God, I should not take it to the alteration. Alteration? I should not take it to no tailor. It should be. And I went inside. How much was it? $8. You are looking at. Don't look at me that way. $8. I paid $8 to buy this so that I could be presentable in this congregation. And I went inside. The girl took a jacket and gave it to me. I fit it. It fit me perfect. This is the jacket I'm saying. $8. But $8 wasn't bad. I said, okay, that's all right. But the desire. Please take it very serious. Yes. Jesus is a very sensitive God. A lot of people, if you have doubt, you still have a doubt, wishy-washy, little bit here, little bit there. Please come into the conclusion that Jesus is listening to each and every one of us, and we are not forgotten by God. Amen. And the every desire, the little desire, it may be a small desire, still God respects. Still God wanted to fulfill that desire because you are so great. Hallelujah. Amen. Now God, when God blesses people, right? I see a lot of churches, they come, people come with a dollar bill. And they put a dollar in the offering and they feel good, which is okay. But Jesus, our Lord Jesus that we worship, Oh, he is the God of abundance. He is the God of, what do you say? Bounty. Plenty. That is why he was blessed like never before. Never before. Plenty. A boy went with the mother to a store. Are you listening? A boy went with the mother to the store to buy. When the mother was buying the grocery, the boy was standing before the counter where they pay the money. And there was a candy bottle. Hello? There was a candy bottle. He was standing looking at the candy bottle. He likes candy, but he had to wait for the mother to come. But the man of the shop, boy, come. He opened the bottle. Take candies. He was not taking. He told him too many times, come on, take it. He never took it. And then he waited. The mother came. Madam, I gave your son a chance to take some candies and he didn't want to take. And the mother said, okay, take some. He didn't take it. And the man said, what are you doing? And he put his hand and took the candies and gave it to the child, that boy. Two packets in the shirt, full. And two packets in the pant, also full. Two hands of the boy is full. On the way, mother and the son talking. The mother asked the son, my son, I know you love candies, but when the man offered you candies, why you didn't take it? You pretend like that you don't like candies at all. And he said, mommy, my hand is very small. If I take candies out of my hand, it could be maybe two or three. Now you see the man put his big hand and my packets all full and the remaining in my hand. That is how God wanted to bless you because his hand is big. Hallelujah. That is the God we are worshipping this morning.
Hallelujah.
That is the God we are worshipping. Never think God forgetting us. Never think we are forgotten by God. You and me, we are always in God's program. Hello, somebody. We are still in God's program. We are in the mind of God. We are drawn in the palm of God. That is why God said to him, take all your nets and let in the water. Now Jesus said to him, forget all your fish and follow me. Now we are going to not follow your preacher. You know, people have a very bad notion. In this country, when I see a member in this church, 2 months later, if I go to another church and they are there. And if I go to another church and they are there. But in my church, if somebody wants to leave the church, they will not leave the church. You know why? They have to walk anyway 5 miles to go to the church. They have to walk with a, you know, barefoot. You all know about it, right? Barefoot. We don't use no shoes. Some people have slippers. So, 5 miles anyway, they have to walk to another church, they better stay. Hello?
Amen. All right.
That is what God meant to say, that we have to be in within the frame, the program, the mind. Be in God's program, never doubt God, never underestimate God, be in His program, and God have a work for you, and He will lift you up.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Can we all stand on our feet? Father, we just come before you, Lord. We come to the throne of grace to obtain your mercy. Lord, you are God all by yourself. I am that I am. And you change not. Jesus, you never change. Lord, give us the steady, constant. Give us the mind to focus our eyes upon you, you alone. And follow you. And just follow your instruction. Exactly what we have to do. Lord, as you command us to do something, Lord, help us to fulfill that commandment. Father, we give you praise and glory that this church, every chair of this church will be filled by someone, Lord. Make them as a fisher of men. Make everyone the fisherman. Then let them go and bring somebody into the knowledge of Jesus. Lord, everybody unite us mind together in one mind, in one accord. that we will be able to fulfill your commandment. We give you thanks and praises. Thanks for our beloved pastor and family. Lord, we give you all the praise and glory to you, O Lord. In Jesus' most precious name we pray and ask. Amen. Amen. Oh Lord. Hallelujah. Did you enjoy that message?
Amen.
Give the Lord a praise. Thanks for coming up to give another assignment to the bronze of the grass. Brooklyn, no, he's going to Brooklyn. So let's offer prayer for him and trust the Lord. The Lord will just use him very good, right? Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise you. This man of God.